I celebrate you today. It is amazing to see each and every one of you. Thank you for the significance that you have in our church family, but how you're making a Jesus-sized difference in your world. You are needed, you are loved, and you're all unique, and I'm so grateful for each of you and that we can do life together. What an honor. Those watching online, we love you. And so, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to each of you that carry the heart of a mother, whether it's biologically, relationally, spiritually, you carry the heart of a mother and you are so loved. And so I wanna just speak just for a moment about something. I love Dina, thank you for your testimony. That was just so special and so beautiful. Thank you so, so much. And you know, for some of you today, even listening to Dina, I just wanna give you a little word of encouragement that maybe today as you're thinking, oh, it is a tough day. What do I do with today? We did this around the table last night as we celebrated Mother's Day early with my mom. I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom and to my mother-in-law. I call her mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, Stephanie and Faye. I'm so grateful for both of you. You are a treasure in my heart. But as we were together last night, we were just talking about what is a woman in your life that was not related to you that had an impact? And so just take a moment today to think about that. It could have been a teacher. It could have been someone's mother, down like a friend's mom, someone, maybe a mentor in your life. Just take a moment and thank God that he brought a mother into your life, a woman to mother and to care for a part of your heart. And it's pretty extraordinary when you look back and you start to just chart how many times God brought someone into your life. So may there be a little redemption moment. I just felt to say that today to some of you that might think, what do I do with today? That's a beautiful moment to just take and to reflect on how God has moved and is moving. Well, it is not a coincidence that in our HeartStrong journey, we are in season 6 and we have finished Nehemiah and we are entering the book of Esther. I love Esther. And women, I need to hear a woohoo because there's two books in the Bible after women, Ruth and Esther. Woohoo. And so today, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I love it. And so today we are entering into Esther and it's right in time for Mother's Day. And so with this, I feel like I have to give a background of Esther because the story is pretty epic. It's only 10 chapters. We're going to be getting through it pretty quick this week. So I just want to give you a summary of the story of Esther and then to give you a takeaway from that as we move through the story. So Esther is a woman that God pulls out of obscurity into an extraordinary position of influence in history. And she's used in the rescue of her people. Now God moves in unexpected ways through unexpected people. And Esther is a reminder to encourage our hearts today. Though God is never mentioned in the book of Esther, we can clearly see that he is at work behind the scenes. Through the historical account of Esther, we can see woven through the story God's divine providence as events are orchestrated in a way that leads to the rescue of God's people. And this reminds us that even though we may not feel that God is working, God is working. He is still at work in our lives. He's always at work in our lives because he is a promise-keeping God. Say promise-keeping God. Amen. He keeps his word. Now, the book of Esther invites us to trust in God and in his provision. And this requires a posture of hope to trust God to fulfill his word. Now, Esther is an exciting book, many twists and turns, and it brings you to the edge of your seat as you watch the story unfold. So the story is set 100 years after the Babylonian exile of the Israelites from their land. And the book of Esther is about a Jewish community living in Susa, which is the capital city of the ancient Persian Empire. Now, main characters in the story are a few. Esther, who is the niece of Mordecai, two Jews, the king of Persia, and the Persian official Haman. Now, the story begins when the king of Persia throws a huge party and demands that his wife, Queen Vashti, come and show off her beauty at the party. And Queen Vashti says, no, I'm not showing up, which is a big no-no in that time, and she's banished as queen. So then the king holds what's kind of like a big beauty pageant to look for a new queen. And through the process of them finding a new queen, who's chosen? Esther. However, she hides her Jewish heritage and identity, and she is positioned as the new queen. Now, a side plot happens. Mordecai overhears two royal guards plotting to kill the king, and what happens is Mordecai tells Esther, Esther tells the king, and Mordecai is now credited for saving the king's life. now introduces Haman, the next character, who's been elevated to the highest position in the kingdom. And in his crazy pride, he demands that every time he passes by, people would bow to him. However, Mordecai sees Haman and he is not bowing. And Haman is filled with rage. And when he finds out that Mordecai is a Jew, he persuades the king to write a decree. Say decree. Decree. To destroy all the Jews, and they decide on a date for this horrific day. Now, the story now pivots back to Mordecai and Esther. Esther, who has hidden her Jewish identity, is now the only hope for her people. And at a critical moment in the story, Mordecai reminds Esther in this very famous scripture found in Esther 4:14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Let's say that again. For such a time as this. To save her people, Esther was going to need to risk her life and her legacy with no guarantee of a positive outcome. Esther would need to reveal her Jewish identity to the king and see if that he can reverse the decree. And this comes at a great risk because approaching the king without being invited was also an act worthy of death in the Persian Empire, which was a no-no. So Esther responds with great courage and she says, if I perish, I perish, and decides she will approach the king. So Esther hosts the king and Haman at a large banquet, invites them to come back for a second banquet. Haman leaves drunk and happy with himself, and then he sees Mordecai in the street. And Mordecai, once again, does not bow. And Haman is consumed with anger and rage and orders that a tall stake be built so that Mordecai can be impaled upon it the next morning. But it suddenly happens in chapter 6. How many love the suddenlies of God? This is a suddenly of God. We see an incredible reversal of all of Haman's evil plans. So during the night, the king cannot sleep, and he has the royal chronicles read to him. Talk about a crazy bedtime read. So he just happens to hear about how Mordecai saved his life from the plot of the guards, and he realizes he never rewarded Mordecai. So in the morning, as Haman enters in to request Mordecai's execution, the king orders for Haman to honor Mordecai publicly for saving his life. Haman now has to lead Mordecai around the entire city on a royal horse, honoring him. Talk about a crazy twist. Love it. Now, Esther's second banquet takes place. The king and Haman arrive and they're invited in. And at this critical moment, Esther informs the king of her Jewish identity and reveals that Haman's decree is a plot to kill not only her and Mordecai, but all of her people. And the king is enraged. And now he orders for Haman to be impaled on the very stake that he had designed made for Mordecai. The king, however, cannot revoke a decree that's already been made. So Mordecai is commissioned to do a counter decree. And he issues a counter decree that on the day when all of the people of the Jewish people are to be killed, the people can now defend themselves from anyone who desires to destroy them. And Mordecai is now elevated to the second in command in the kingdom. Who saw that coming? I love these twists. Now the decree day comes, the Jews triumph over their enemies, and this is followed by joy and great celebration because the Jewish people have been saved. The story goes on to tell how Esther and Mordecai establish another decree. Say decree. The great rescue will be remembered by a feast called Purim, which is still celebrated to this day. Now, the story invites us to see that God can and still does work in the mess. He uses the faithfulness of people to accomplish his purpose. And in Esther, the sovereignty and the faithfulness of God flows through each and every scene. What seemed out of control to Esther and Mordecai, God was at work. When the king dictated ruin for the Jewish people, God was at work. When evil was poised to triumph, God was at work. God worked through the darkest days, and he worked through their faithful obedience. He never stops working. God is sovereign even when life doesn't make sense. And life can be hard. Life can be difficult. We all have a story. And we've heard a story this morning. I know each of you, if I sit down with you, we've all had a story, and we all have a story and a testimony. Pain cannot always be avoided. We can become uncertain, angry, frustrated, fearful, rebellious at all that's happening around us and feel like it's happening to us. When life doesn't make sense or things aren't going the way you hoped it would go, what do you do? Well, may we ask God for an eternal perspective. The book of Esther reminds us that God is always present. Beloved church, God is always present with you. God will weave all events for his glory and will work all things together for our good, because God is a promise-keeping God. In the book of Esther, we hear about decrees. That's why I had you repeat it, decrees. Now, a decree was written in Esther to bring about the death of God, of God's people. But in the story of Esther, we also see when there was a turn of events that the king was unable to undo a decree and needed to have a counter decree written. Church, I have the best news today. God has completely canceled and rewritten a new decree to save us. God has completely undone, canceled, and written a new decree to save us. He is the ultimate authority. The enemy had a decree against us due to the burden and the sin of death and the curse of sin and death. But God took it upon himself, and he took legal action and decreed a new one, a new covenant through the blood of Jesus. And I love this scripture found in Colossians 2, 12 to 15. It says this: "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God," say then God. "Then God," all glory to him. "Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." Can we raise a hallelujah? I mean, that is a way to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we can read God's decrees and promises over us, and we have it in our hands. It is the most precious gift we have, the Word of God. We can declare the promises of God that he has decreed, the ultimate king, the ultimate authority. And as we do, we are reminding God of his promises that he's decreed and aligning in faith to him, even if it's not always present with our natural eyes. Now, declaring God's word requires faith, but please hear this caution. Declarations should never contradict the word of God or his character. And I am not preaching a name it and claim it gospel here, where I say, "I declare there'll be $10,000 in my bank account tomorrow. I declare." We're not talking about that. And that is not the gospel I'm talking about. And that I want to really caution that. That is not what I'm saying. And I'm also not saying not to be honest about emotions and feelings and grief and be able to talk about that and to go through things. But what do we do with that? Where do we find ourselves when we have all of these things happening? We look around and we're frustrated or in pain or angry or may feel sad. What do we do with it after we've said it out loud, after we've talked about it? We can take it to the Word of God. The message I have today is that the Word of God can take a hopeless situation and align our hearts in faith to his power, to his word, for his glory. as we humbly obey and ask for God's will to be done. God's word and promises that we read all through scripture are eternal. And as we align with this, we are aligning with, may it be on earth as it is in heaven. When we declare and decree God's word, we are speaking into the eternal plans and into the eternal character of God. Now, not into our own desires and outcomes or how we think things should be done. God's ways are higher than ours, and he is God. Now, asking and declaring are two different things. I want to be clear about that. Asking is defined as this, to put a question to and request an answer from. We can and are invited to ask, to bring all of our needs, all of our specifics to God. He walks an intimate relationship with us. He wants that communication. He wants you to be able to talk with him of all the things that are in your heart. It's communicating and keeping that relationship alive. We can ask, surrender to how he works, because like I had just said, scripture tells us his ways are not our ways. They are higher than us. He's God. But a biblical declaration is what I want to talk about. A biblical declaration is defined as the announcement of something that has already been established, decreed, or promised by God. Declarations are speaking into the eternal realm. And this is why declarations are so powerful. We speak and we rise above the natural into the supernatural, into what has been established in the heavenlies. We speak into our circumstances, the promises and the character of God and his decrees, his precious word. Declaring requires faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to encourage you to read Hebrews 11. It's an incredible chapter of the Hall of Faith, we call it. And you will see many men and women mentioned in that book. Half of the book, they saw the beginning of the fruit of their obedience, or steps of faith. But half of that book, of that chapter, they did not see the promises of God in their temporal life, but they believed and they held on to it. And God said they were such men and worth of faith that the world wasn't even worthy of them. They were amazing men and women of faith. Whether we see it or we don't see it on this temporal side, it is eternal, and God will work all things together, and his word will stay true. That is a promise. His word never fails. Say, his word never fails. We have the ability to choose life or death with our words. And Proverbs 18:21 tells us that what we speak, whether positive or negative, will have consequences, and we will declare and will that we declare and we will bear its fruit. James 3 tells us our tongues are powerful, and what we speak out of our mouth has the power to direct our lives. And I love this. Psalm 119 says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm. It is decreed in the heavens. God encourages us to declare his word. He also says this in Job 22, you will make your prayers to him and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows, and you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, and your light will shine on your ways. I could go on and on. I feel like I could preach for an hour. I have so much in me about declarations and the power of the word of God. And scripture is filled with the power, about using the power of words and the power of the word of God and his promises. As we declare God's word, it's a tangible practice of faith and prayer. And we actively are affirming our trust in God and as an eternal promises. And I want to promise you this. Your faith will be strengthened as you declare the word of God, and it will bring personal transformation. We can take a stand against the enemy's lies, because church, the truth is, spiritual warfare is real. It's real. And the enemy has a decree against each and every one of you. He just doesn't want to rob, steal. He wants to destroy you. That is his decree. But God, God's word is the ultimate decree, and through the blood of Jesus, he has forever canceled any decree the enemy can hold against you. His word is final, and that's when we speak the word of God, we are speaking life, and we are speaking transformation into the spiritual realm. Well, you may listen today and you think this is wonderful. And hopefully this has also encouraged you if you haven't opened up your Bible to really jump onto HeartStrong. Dig into the Word of God. This is such a treasure we hold in our hands. One of the deepest treasures. Dig into the Word of God. But perhaps you're new to faith and you're like, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know my Bible. It's okay. We're on this journey together. God is going to lead us, and He's got a plan to help you grow as you continue to stay plugged into church. You grow in life groups or grow in HeartStrong. God is going to lead and direct you. We need to open the Word of God. We need to speak the Word of God. And a tangible way to do this, of how to write a declaration over your circumstances, to right now think, is there something you are facing right now today that you would love to see overturned? And most of the times, I want to be honest, the overturning is not always out here. It happens in here. As we declare the Word of God, something happens in our spirit, in our heart. And what you can do, this is 4 really easy steps to begin to use the Word of God to speak over your life eternal promises. First, identify the need. What is that need in your life? Are you fearful? Are you anxious? Are you needing to feel the love of God? Maybe you've been diagnosed with something, a health situation you're facing, a relational situation you're facing, financial, you can name it, whatever it may be. Perhaps you need to forgive someone. There's a lot of anger. What may that be in your own heart and life? Bring it to God right now. Say, this is my need. Secondly, search God's word. If it's forgiveness, look for scriptures that have to do with forgiveness. Thirdly, personalize the scripture. The word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It moves. It has life. The word of God is life. It is life. And then keep it simple and in present tense. So I want to show you an example of that. And I want to speak this over your life today. I firstly want you to know you are deeply loved by God. He created you with such a purpose. You are loved. No season will ever be wasted by God. He takes our ashes and turns them into beauty. I love that, Dina. He takes those ashes and makes a garden. God will not waste anything. He is with you. He is for you. He loves you. May your heart just feel like hope starting to rise. And in our circumstances, in our country, in all that we live, we need to start to speak life. I could go on about the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel. The power of the Word of God, speaking life, speaking hope, speaking resurrection power. The same God of Esther is the same God with us today. He is unchanging and unmoving. And you know what's so amazing? His throne is completely, it is forever. He is enthroned forever. He will never be off his throne. Nobody can ever vote him out of his throne. He forever will reign. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, an eternal kingdom that is firmly established that he is God and there is no other. He is the ultimate sovereign God and holds all things together. And these are the words we get to speak. His word, his heart. So today, a declaration, a personal way of showing you how to do this is if today you've come and you don't know if God loves you, or perhaps you're feeling like, I don't feel worthy of love. I'm going to show you a scripture found in Jeremiah 31:3, which always kind of chokes me up a bit. It's such a beautiful scripture. But this is what God says about love. I have loved you. This is God speaking. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. He's so kind and so loving. And so this is a declaration that you can take from this to believe that God loves you. I declare that I am deeply loved by God. His love is eternal, unchanging, and unconditional, and no power can separate me from his love. I declare that his love surrounds me, sustains me, and empowers me to walk in confidence. And because of his love, I will not fear. I will not be anxious about my needs, for he is my provider, and his mercy and kindness will continually cover and draw me close to him. I am loved, I am cared for, and chosen by my Father, and his love will shine through in every area of my life. And I declare God's love over me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We can clap for Jesus. God's love, yes. Oh. It's so amazing, his love. But that is taking a scripture, declaring it over my life, and adding a prayer to it, and declaring that. And there was a season I went through. It was pretty tough. Well, I've gone through many seasons, but a recent one. And every day I'd wake up and I'd say the same thing over myself. I didn't feel it. I didn't believe it right away, but I know it's true. And the more we say it, the more we begin to speak that over our lives. It's life, it's life, it's life. So today, may we be challenged. How much life are we speaking? Are we only speaking criticism? Are we only speaking judgment? Are we only speaking harsh? God today wants to say, speak life, speak life. Speak joy, speak hope. God is moving, church. God is moving. God is reviving hearts. And what God has started, he will be faithful to complete. All glory to his name. You have been born for such a time as this. Such a time have you been born. May you be encouraged to step into your kingdom assignment by focusing off the temporal and using your words for spiritual breakthrough and transformation by using the words of God, because he is eternal and these words are eternal and we are to speak life. May hope arise. May encouragement fill your spirit to know that God is a promise-keeping God and always, 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 say with me, always, 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 one more time, always keeps his word. We have his decree and promises in our hands. May for such a time as this, we not miss the opportunity to use our words to speak life, declare and decree God's word, because with God, nothing is impossible. God bless you, church, and happy Mother's Day, women.